Hey, what's good? It's Sky on Fly. I'm from the ATL where the players dwell. And we currently are back for another Shea Butter Rewind Therapy, where we're going to talk to people in the game about a game, but not a game. In this case, we're going to talk about the soccer tournament, 7 versus 7, a tournament that happened a couple of weeks ago in Cary, North Carolina. And I am joined by with one Ebony Navidad. Say hey, wow. Ebony. What you mean, hello? Why? Say hey. Hey.
You should have just said my last name.
Ebony Christmas, but, you know, the one Ebony, legendary, famous Ebony Navidad. And we're going to talk to quite a few players who participated in the tournament. So, all right, let's get these introductions started. Anybody want to introduce themselves? Anybody want to go first? And in your introduction, share your name, what team you play for, what position, and then rep the city you from.
Okay, I'll go first. I'll start it off. I'm Kayla, and I played for Tampa Bay Sun Sevens, like their 77 team. I'm from California, LA more like, and I played the last defender in the 77. Okay. So that was fun.
Word.
I'll go next. I'm Jamia Fields. I played for Burnley FC in the tournament. And I'm from Rancho Cucamonga, California, just outside of LA, the IE. And Kayla, was that you laughing?
Yeah,
was that
I'm sorry. I should have muted myself.
You're a hater. She wants to be from the IE. Anyways, I will continue. And I played every position. We were short on subs, and we, you know, but yeah. I was tired out there. But hey, it was a great time.
Hey. Who else?
Besides goalkeeper. Let me not say every position. I could never play goalkeeper. Next.
I'll hop in. I'm Sade Pratt. That's funny, Jamia. I didn't know you had I have family there. I can never say the C part, but the Rancho part I can say.
maybe we're family.
Maybe cousin. I played on the same team as Kayla. So in the tournament, I was playing with Tampa Bay Sun FC. I guess I was playing right outside back or left outside back, fullback.
Yeah.
And
defense, yeah.
I don't know if it's worth repping, but I'm from one of the M's, Maryland/Minnesota. You could just pick one on a good day. I grew up in both.
You gotta rep where you from. I'm from the ATL, so I understand. Who's next?
I can go. I'm Mariah Lee. I'm from Seattle. I played on the Angel City Sevens, and I was playing up top. But, you know, when it gets down to the 2v2, you're all over. So I was all over with Dom.
Word. And lastly, but not least.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dom Randall. I'm originally from Seattle. Actually, hey. Knew Mariah growing up. And then now I live in LA for the past, 10, 11 years. And I played for Angel City Sevens. I'm a defender. I was actually our only true defender on our team. So that was a good time.
I was like, don't take Dom off. He brought the field.
Some people lied on their bios.
Word. All right, cool. Ebony, where are you from? You haven't revealed where you from.
Raleigh. So I was local for the tournament. Born and raised here. Never played, never will. I just like to watch everybody else do that work.
Word. All right, so let's get into these questions. So I wasn't at the tournament. I was at home because I had to work. But I did see the tournament on the TV screen. I was in LA. It was a really dope tournament, 7 versus 7. It was like street ball type soccer. So I was lit, like watching it at the crack of dawn because it came out early. Y'all played like it was later in the day for y'all. It was early back here. But it was really dope. So I got several questions. So does Ebony. So I'm going to kick it off with, what does it mean that there were so many black and brown players playing and involved in this tournament? And, you know, what did it mean to play on teams that were really diverse?
I'll
I'll start. I think with Angel City Stones, the other dope thing was that we had two national team legends who also are Black. So Saskia Weber and Kobe Jones were our coaches. So I think that added another element of just comfort and how welcoming it was. Not only it's a small community of us, so I think I knew at least half of the Black girls that were there, but also seeing it on the men's side as well, just coming from all over the world. So having two coaches that paved the way a lot for us in U.S. soccer in general was super dope. And I think Mariah can talk about this. We were able to have like conversations about diversity. We had a whole lesson about the Kendrick Drake beef in our car at one point and trying to explain like the nuances, the like breaking down the music too. So that was always a fun time. And I think it was a space that I hadn't felt in a while of being comfortable and not having to worry about filtering like language or how I am and how you are. Because we're all adults at this point. You really shouldn't really have to change up who you are. And I think this tournament, you've got to be who you are. And not only is it street ball, but it's your own individual flair and lets you put that individuality that you have. So the environment was great for that.
Yeah. And just off the field, it was fun. Like, you have people that you played up growing up with, like me and Dom, and like people I've played against, Kayla, like back in the day in college, and then just off the field, you get to kick it. So I think it was really cool just to be in an environment with dope people. And just to like, I met Sade like for the first time and Jamia for the first time. So it's just furthering like that community that we all kind of just have, like you see another Black player and you're like, yep, do your thing. So I think it was just even better seeing it in person and all being there together.
Yeah. Going off that, I would say like, it was just so cool. We all play our, you know, with us, cause we were on a couple different teams and then at the events after all coming together and just like Mariah said, we met for the first time, but it felt like, you know, it wasn't the first time, right? We all felt connected in some form. And I think it's just bonding at, you know, getting to this point in our careers, our different careers, our different journeys, but as Black women. So I thought that was special to connect on.
I also think that it was cool to have different women of color on our team that I haven't like known before. Like Sade, it was the first time I met Sade, but I think that it was cool. And the first time hanging out with Chi for real, who wasn't on this call, but I think it was cool to like talk about everyone's stories, right? Like just, and how everybody's journeys have been, were kind of similar or had stuff in common because we are women of color. So I think that was cool too. It's just like, not cool really, because the things that happened in the story weren't cool, but it was cool to see that we're not really ever alone.
Yeah. I love that, Kayla. Cause I think obviously we all came down to try to win $1 million. Right. But I think the biggest thing I was excited for was the football community. Because where in a space do we just have this many people gather together, you know, former players, some current players, but it was just the beauty of seeing the sport bring us all together in just one place. And I think it was more about connections, and there was always this kind of mutual, if it was spoken or unspoken, especially as Black women, you know, stepping on the pitch and then stepping off the pitch. I met so many people I've haven't met before or maybe played against in the past, and it was just really nice to connect in that aspect in that way. And you know, I can say for our team was like absolutely very diverse, just like all the different nationalities we had on the team as well. And I think the stories and just hearing where everyone came from and just what it took to even be there at the tournament was pretty cool.
Work. Oh, that's dope. So with that, my next question is, how do you think this style of soccer, because it was like really street ball soccer, like from the jump, like I saw in the first games, I was like, oh, this is lit. Like y'all are running end to end, like we hooping on the, you know, like on the pitch. And then like when you have to like drop down after target or the target score time, and then this like players dropping and we like people playing several positions, all that flashback for me, who growing up in Atlanta, I played soccer in high school, Still, though, I never connected to it until I watched the game with black people and from other cultures. And I was like, oh, this is what it looks like. It don't look real white. I think it's like an opportunity to connect. This style of soccer would get a lot of people hyped, particularly black folks, whether they be players, fans into the game. Like, what do y'all think with this style of soccer? Could it bring more people into loving the game, particularly stateside? And then, yeah, what do y'all think of like this style of soccer introducing people to the game, I guess?
I'll go first. I think it's really exciting because even if a team gets down a certain amount of goals, it's like the team, like no one's really never really out of it. So I think that can really engage the fans with just like, you know, the underdog might come back. You know, everyone loves the underdog story. So I definitely think it could bring more attention to, you know, in the stateside, like stateside with the fans for sure.
Yeah. I think that the whole point of TST is entertainment mostly. Like, obviously for us, we're focused, but I think that it's a lot of the rules are entertainment focused. So I feel like there's something for everyone, and it could definitely get the people going for sure.
Yeah, and this is Mariah. I just really like, as a forward, being able to like go 1v1. And so when you lose numbers, it just naturally makes it more of like an isolated kind of like a street ball game. And so you see people showing their flair, like just going up against other people in that way. And I was actually talking to one of the sponsors, and he was a black guy, and he got introduced to TST through TBT. He worked it. And he said this was actually a lot more entertaining and a lot more fun. And he likes the soccer format way better than the basketball format. So it's working. Like, it definitely is bringing people into the game that weren't previously involved with soccer.
Yeah, I think more of that like 7v7 style, kind of that futsal, that street ball style is played just in other places around the world. But when it comes to America, you know, I think it's more of a selective group that watches the game versus when you look worldwide, it's the biggest sport there is in the world. And often what I hear from people or fans who don't typically watch is the game is a bit slow. It's low scoring, right? Basketball, you can get up to 60 points or into the hundreds. It's very fast paced. And I think with TST, you get that entertainment purpose. And there's a lot more goals scored. It's high intensity. It's a shorter pitch. There's a lot more action that's like packed into a much smaller game that you typically can't see too much in 11v11. You get little spurts here and there of it, but within such a compact field, it really is better entertainment for the fans. And I think that can really spark someone's interest who may not be such a huge footballer fan, but maybe that can translate over to the 11v11 game as well later on down the road.
So you mentioned the rules. What did you think of the rules? Because this is 7v7, but target score. So every game ends on a goal, like no offsides, no such thing as a slide tackle. Like those are drastic changes to like your everyday game. What did you think about having to incorporate that into your mindset, especially with training?
Yeah, I think the rules, when you read them, I think it took everyone about like 5 or 6 times to read through them to truly understand. But you also watching it, you have to watch it in order to truly understand the scope of it. And even just from watching, like the field looks ginormous. And then once you're on it, it's a little bit, the dimensions are easier to work with than what you picture in your head. And I think it's one of those things of you just have to adapt. And I think the teams that could get a hold and build a rhythm and really let their flair go during the matches are the ones that do fairly well. And again, it's really just incorporating a little bit of that 11v11 style, but also it gives you that time and that freedom to be that creative player and kind of get back to the root of what we all did when we were younger playing soccer, and kind of building your own love for the game again is how I would put it. Because at the end of the day, like that target score, it's who wants it more. who has that dog in them to take on 2-3 players, who's going to block a shot, and because the goals are really close together, who's going to put their body on the line, even though you can't slide to prevent something from going in. And I think that's the exciting part of this entire thing. And I think it can bring in the community and even the country and the world, that idea of nothing's ever over. And I think that idea is really rooted into the rules of you have to play quicker. You have to, it's a smaller field. There's not as many numbers, but you can sub as many times as you want. And it kind of gives that chance that, or kind of gives that opportunity for everyone to show what they have, but also to dig out from, we've seen teams be down like 3-4-0 and come back and win. And I think that is really the spirit of the game. And I think that'll help hopefully bring in more fans to support not only the men's side, but the women's side. Because we heard a lot of commentary, even from the guys, saying that the women's game matches were much more competitive, much more exciting than the men's side.
I have a question. So did you think you have a better advantage for this game if you played forward or defender, or if you were a defender, or did it not matter? Or did it come back to your overall skill sets? Like, you know, being exposed to futsal or your ability to be like quick or whatever.
I think honestly, probably having a futsal or an indoor background was much better rather than positions. Because at times it all depends on what the other team is doing, at least on the defensive end, as far as tactics. And I think on our last game, everyone, we just were like, we're just going man on man and stick with your man. And it kind of worked. But there are some other teams that take advantage of it. So I don't think positionally it matters as much. I think we just had a team full of midfielders and one defender. So that composition wasn't great, but that, the idea of having futsal or indoor background or just being able to play multiple positions and interchanging a lot really helps in this style of play.
Yeah, I think you just have to be well-rounded and solid to make it. Like, because you're going to, as a forward, you're going to defend. As a defender, you're going to get up top. You're going to be all over. You're going to have to track back. You got to be able to do it all. And in a lot of the men's games, you see them taking off the keeper and putting a player and for the keeper if they're down to like the 2v2. And so they got to be savvy enough to be able to get forward, and then maybe they got to make a save with their hands or something, you know? So I think it just helped if you play different positions or you had been in different soccer mediums like futsal, indoor, et cetera. So I don't really think it would have helped if you were just – like a forward and you couldn't defend. And if your team was down, like, I don't think that would have really helped you in the target score time.
I agree that I feel like to have a player who can do multiple positions is helpful. Like whether that be on left and right or whether that be center or midfield, I think that having people who can play multiple positions was super helpful in this setup for 7v7 and fitness. I feel like if I had to redo it, I would be like, everybody run every day leading up, because I feel like that is super as well. So yeah, so maybe some track members on the team next time.
So I was mostly media for this tournament. What did you like about the tournament and the ability to use their platform to showcase your skills for your next opportunity on your next team?
I would just like to say that the tournament was really well ran. I feel like the everybody who worked there was super helpful. They like always were super apologetic if we pulled up to the wrong field and somebody was on the field. So I just think that TST in general has my vote for organization. Like, that was, it was really well done, really well run. And I think that they created an environment where people wanted to be playing soccer. Like, I think that people were like, this is fun, and creating an environment where, like, as we've been saying, like, everybody who hasn't seen each other in a while could just like link up again. And it's kind of like chill vibes because, you know, eventually we're going to be on the field, but it'll only be for a short time. And then we can like link up back after again. So in terms of prepping for the next opportunity, you know, I think it just made people excited. I don't know. I think it just made people excited. That was my experience. I think it just got the people going, got the people going.
No, I definitely agree, Kayla, because, I mean, I know my team got to hear my story and stuff, but I have a 9-to-5 now, and I took PTO, and I almost forgot I had a 9-to-5 because I was so excited just being there and just feeling the game again. It just brought me alive. But then I got to hear other people's stories about how they wanted to continue to play and different things like that. I thought TST did a great job of, you know, keeping the games up on the online system for a certain amount of time. I heard other women say, yeah, I'm going to use, you know, some of this footage, hopefully for my next team, you know, to get a shot. And just those little details and things like that, even being able for them to highlight certain players on their social media, whether it was a goal they scored, really making efforts to tag those players in their different social media platforms as well. I think it's only going to help other people who want to have that next playing opportunity. And maybe it's not even playing, maybe it's something else within the game of football. But I think all those little details that the tournament even tried to do really is going to help somebody in the long run.
Yeah, and I also think, I was just going to add a little bit onto that with of how, even though there was like the different rules in TST, but I still think like it's, you know, it could show the highlights of each player's like their attributes being able to use that film. So I definitely think people were able to just showcase and be able to show what they could do in 11v11 as well. And yeah, like Sade, Kayla, some people who've been, you know, with other jobs, I'm like, y'all know, y'all need to come back to playing. I saw y'all playing on Tampa and
y'all was cooking.
Leave the 9-to-5. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was cool to see, you know, players who've been out of the game to come and ball out and be like, yo, this is what I've been doing. You know, this is me. So it was cool to see. And people definitely will be able to use film for future opportunities.
Yeah. And just like the exposure and, you know, Angel City is represented. Their GM was there the whole tournament. She watched all the games. You have Tampa, you have the Courage, you have clubs who have eyes on this tournament. So I think there inherently is a chance, like you ball out, there's a chance someone's going to see it and then they could call you up. So I think that's really cool, being a player who's still actively in the game. Like that's not all the time you have people looking at your games and you're off in Europe or something.
Yeah. So first off, before I get into it, I want a huge shout out to Hale because she, speaking from Saskia, she explained the process of they didn't even want to have a women's side. And she was like, we're not doing this without having a women's side and the prize money being the exact same. So I think that really helped us have a platform. I got messages from girls playing in Europe, girls playing in NWSL, and also signed to Super League team saying, hey, we're watching, our coaches are watching. And just hearing all of that and how much people want to play, because I'm getting a lot of messages of, hey, I want to play next year. What's going on? And trying to recruit already. And so I think just one, having the platform to even be on this stage is something to be super grateful for. And everyone had an equal opportunity to win the same amount of money that the men did on their side. But also just hearing, I think it just feels good knowing that you have people from different countries and teams sending scouts out, and even the Division I teams that in the U.S. are even sending teams because there were some clubs that are like, no, we don't want to send players. We don't want people getting hurt. But the level was still really high. I think everyone had such a great team. You never knew what to expect. And I think everyone's going to get some really good film. And like I said before, a lot of the men's players and people that I've talked to really enjoyed seeing ours much more than the men. So, hey, maybe they'll increase it to 16 or 32 teams next year and we'll run it back.
Abby, did you want to ask this other question?
Yeah. So what would you want to see change in how you're represented in TST? I don't know.
I think this is just a random thought for me. I think we everyone was represented as a footballer there because that's what we were there to do and that's what we were playing. But like I said, there was quite a lot of retired athletes there who have done a lot in their life. And I think it could have been cool to kind of highlight those stories outside of football a little bit. I think football is what brought us together, but maybe highlighting a little bit about what people do now. You know, I think some people got to hear my story, like I'm a footwear designer now at Nike and I predominantly work in performance footwear. And I just got moved over to now working in global football innovation. And even just hearing that, you know, I had people coming up to me and asking questions about future positions or future jobs and stuff. And I think that is a bigger connection. Football brought us together, right? But now what's the next step, you know, after football for somebody? Or what's that next connection? You know, I heard people talking about yoga or mental health and different things and connecting on those different aspects. And I think maybe a little, just a little bit more storytelling about the players who are actually there, and how we can further kind of diversify that network within football and just really help each other out, maybe when the game is done for us or how we push forward in that aspect.
That's a great idea, Sade. Also, Sade is the real deal. And so I do think we should have had a, highlighted her outside of the field. So just a personal unbiased opinion.
And going off of that, I do think the tournament could do a better job. I know they're trying to get fans in, but they really marketed just like the big names on the men's and women's side. So I was kind of, even in the lead up, they would post like Heather O'Reilly, you know, Allie Krieger, Wrexham, Burnley. And then I went to the site and I was like, oh, they got Kayla? They got Jamia? They got these players playing. Like, I was hyped when I looked and I saw who the rosters were, and they didn't really push everybody else who made up the team. So I think they can do a, just a better job in general of highlighting players who are there. And of course, like, their stories would be even more of an addition to just, like Sade said, highlight everything that we've done, because we all come here being more than just soccer players.
I think, Mariah, that's also just a great point, because I think the point of TST, right, it's a huge entertainment, it's a huge marketing. So using those big names to bring and drive some of those fans in was huge. Even, you know, we have NFL players, so just bringing a different fan base to the TST and having them watch football. But then also, maybe there's a fan there who wants to become a new fan of someone else. Like, maybe there's a fan who wants to become Mariah's biggest fan, but if she's not highlighted, right, because we're constantly highlighting the same faces who already have a big fan base, I think that was also a missed opportunity, right? Finding those hidden gems and finding people who might have a new favorite player who, but I don't think that was truly highlighted in a way it could have been or utilized, just to bring in more fans and find that little aspect in the game as well.
Word. Oh, so actually, I guess, so would y'all like, so y'all, it sounded like y'all would participate again, or is that yay, nay?
100%.
Y'all gonna run it back.
1,000%.
Run it all the way back.
Because it, like, honestly, so it was really cool seeing y'all on social media and stuff, like, being really hyped about, like, teams. And I'm saying, as a person now, a media fan, it's the first time I've seen swaths of Black and Brown players be, like, really happy about, like, their soccer experience, like, and be really hyped and be, like, whether you're still playing or not, like, be really hyped. So, yeah, I had to ask that question. With that said, next go around, what would you like to see from, I'm all about integrating Black culture, culture in general, and community into the American variation of the game, right? So what would you like to see more from, I guess, Black culture be at this tournament? It is street ball. It is, like, straight up, like, what's good in the hood. You got all this diversity. What would you like to see next go around? Whether it be apparel to, like, the atmosphere, what would you like to see next year at the tournament?
I feel like we could, if we could somehow, I don't know if this is a dreamland, but if we could somehow make tickets, like, less than $15. I know $15 isn't even that much, but like it would probably get even more people out. And like I had an Uber driver and she was like, oh yeah, no. And then I saw tickets were like $15. Again, it might not be that much, but also we can make it cheaper at soccer. Like they obviously have the money to do all the things. And so I feel like if we wanted more people to get out there, and there was a lot of people of color in the community we were playing in, I don't think like necessarily all of that, all of the members of the color were present at TST, like maybe we could just like open it up. I don't know, like, you know, and it's like just make the tickets cheaper. That's all.
Are you saying 15 or 50?
15, 1-5. So,
no, they were 50.
Oh, they were 50.
What?
Yeah.
And that's imperfect. This plan, this what? Makes me sound even better. My point is even more even made, like less money for that.
Yeah, you could buy the whole 6 days for like $400, or you could buy the individual like sessions and days for like 50 or 35.
Yeah, like let's bring that price down.
Y'all charging California also, prices. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Exactly. But also once you were like in the park, I heard like two tacos were like $20. Like I don't know. Like everything was just really expensive. So seconding your point, Caleb, that make it more affordable, maybe to make the experience more, you know, open and for everybody.
I know that they did this at the Women's World Cup last year, and they constantly have this, but they have areas where you can like rent out a field. Because I know my friend and I, we did this in Auckland. Their friends rented out a field for like an hour, and like we just got to play pickup. So if there's opportunities for like even fans or our community to come together and just do like, hey, we're coming on this day, we're renting out like one of the TST fields, or there's a separate practice field, and then just play for like an hour and like get to know people and meet people. I think that would be super dope to have something like that.
So it is local to me, and there are several of those fields around that area, even like closer to downtown Raleigh. And then also there's like several backfields in that same complex. So there are spaces to do that as well.
Anything else? Like, I don't know. Well, this is going to lead into the next segment. What were the vibes? I mean, it was hard to tell on TV because the way they were mic'd up. But did we have, like, drumming? Did we have any fire music and DJs? Or, like...
I will say there are some teams that, like, they bump their own speaker. I think the other hard part is like, we... going to the fields, we're not allowed to have our phones on the bench. So like, I mean, we'd give our phones to the staff if you're connected to a speaker. So it's, for some teams, it was hard. And then we figured that out. But like, you knew when the Reggae Rovers were rolling out because you could hear their music and then coming into like the Athlete Village or wherever you are. And I think that just sends good vibes. So I know a few of the teams bump speakers wherever they were going, but as far as being in the stands, I'm not really sure. I didn't really hear drums, but there are certain teams where they brought a crowd. Like Wrexham always had a big crowd. You know, the U.S. is always going to have a big crowd there. But as far as in the stands, not too much. But their playlists before games were solid, decent. Okay. Can't complain too much.
I mean, I'm trying to get a marching band out there.
So my biggest question is, how do you think teams will adapt to the intensity of futsal or 7v7? Because both teams that won the final for the men, Newtown Pride and La Bombonera, were futsal teams. So one's out of St. Louis and La Bombonera is out of Mexico. Do you think they change the rules next year to add an even more attacking incentive so that you don't have like a Newtown Pride just sitting there with the ball until it's 2v2?
I feel like that's part of it is just like the 2v2 aspect of it. Cause if you're a player, you know, 2v2 on a larger field is like, okay, y'all are really having to get after it. And then if you're watching, you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Is the goalkeeper going to throw it from his box to the other side and make a goal? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that adds to the intensity, to the excitement of it all. for it to go down. But I definitely think that people, I think that even when we showed up, when the women's teams showed up and we were watching the men's games, like, I guess I can only speak for my like team and experience, but we were seeing how they were subbing. We were just like starting to study a little bit more. So I feel like if anything, it will get even more challenging because they'll see how people have adapted to the rules so far.
Yeah, I definitely don't know if it needs to be a rule change. I think many people came in with an 11v11 mindset, right? I'm even kicking myself in the teeth for not going to all the futsal games that I was invited to here where I live now, because there was a little bit of an advantage, right? Because this is how they play indoor. This is how they play futsal. It was more of a tactics mindset that they had that maybe some people didn't have with the 11v11. Even watching the games, you could see forwards were kind of holding the line. There is no offsides, but like naturally, subconsciously, you're kind of doing the things you naturally do on the pitch when you play. I saw a goal where a guy just stood next to the post, hidden on the backside. A guy zipped the ball diagonally across the entire box. Everyone on the team turned, even the keeper. No one saw the guy, right? It's just like a lot of tactics went into it. And I think once you play, you kind of have that experience, right? I played on the same team as Kayla, and we brought 14 players. By the time we got to the semifinals, we had 12 players. We played against the U.S. Women's National Team, and they had 23 players on the bench. Some players in that game were getting some of the most minutes they had out of all three games, if they had even played. It's almost like they played last year and knew something we did not know to bring more players to survive. It wasn't about game 1, 2, and 3. It was about game 4 and 5 for them, right? And I think everyone on this call right now, it's like we now know something. Someone else who might be playing when they add more women's teams potentially next year, they do not know. And I think we're going to come in with an entire different mindset and just the way we even train leading up for it. So I don't necessarily think it's TST needs to change the rules. I think the game was designed in a different way that we're not used to now. And I think we're going to just adapt to the new rules of the 7v7. And I thought that was like actually the funnest part and the most challenging and why I actually wanted to play.
And you just kind of discover more rules as you go into it. Like we discovered the tiebreaker rules because we had a 3-way tie to get out of our group and it went head to head. And we had a tie, and then it went to goal differential. We had a tie, and then it went to goals for, and we didn't score as many goals as the U.S. did. So like next year, we'd go in and say, you know, in these other games, we got to keep running it up because just in case we go to a tiebreaker, we want to go through. So I think there's definitely a learning curve, and the rules are there to have high, you know, entertainment and a lot of goals. And I think we just, as 11v11 players on the women's side, especially because there's not as many opportunities to play futsal and indoor like the men have. So we're just not used to it because we're not in that format most of the time.
I think it's also interesting. Sade brought up the point of like watching what the men were doing and can we apply it? So we're seeing like the men, they're rotating, we're subbing a lot. And I think our team, we wanted to do a lot of substitutions. Everyone wants to play, but at some points we were trying to do so much of what they're doing to be successful that we lost rhythm because we're subbing too much. And we're subbing like large lines of people or groups. At one point we were subbing like the entire team out and putting a new group back in. And then I think as the tournament wore on, we got to see what works best. So it's, can you adapt to the 7v7 game? What can you learn from them? And how can you like adapt that to the group that you have, essentially? Because again, the tactics are different, right? You can have someone just hanging back there, hanging on the far post. And I think Tampa had a few girls on their team that played sevens, like Jordan and Ashley Nick play sevens a lot. So I knew they were going to be good at this game. And Jordan actually balled out for Tampa. And so what can you learn from those players who've done sevens a lot? And what can you learn from the men's side? But also staying true to like what does you players that you have, what can they bring, and what, how does this game bring out the best in those types of players? So at the end of the day, I think one of the things that helped us is like, we could stay on for a little bit longer because we subbed so frequently in the first two games, but we also had really gritty players, and we had players that, I think midfielders are good on both sides of the ball. And I think even Mariah did a great job of, like, she was being our nine, but homegirl was in our box defending when we needed her.
Word, word. All right, so cool. So as we wrap this up, we're going to do a little bit of a hits and riffs. And normally on the podcast, we do that where we reflect on the tunes of yesterday and today, the Quiet Storms and Turnips. But in this case, we're going to flashback to the tournament. What were you listening to during the tournament to keep you hype? Y'all got any songs y'all were listening to? Got any playlists you want to share with the people?
We were listening to Not Like Us a lot. Hey.
Same.
And also Million Dollar Baby, you know, Manifestation and all that.
Hey.
All
that.
I don't know how we got into it, Dom, on our team, but we took it old school. We threw it back to Girl Fight.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, a classic.
I guess, what song summed up your feeling of the tournament? Uh-oh, did I stump you? Oh.
No, you stumped us. Like,
you did. I have to think.
I was like, wait, good question.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah, yes, I got y'all. You're real. I mean, it was really hype. It was like in the end, it was a real situation. It was like Nuck If You Buck, like all the time.
Okay.
Give me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. You didn't expect that, huh? Yeah. Give me a xylophone and I'm out here. We're going to have the Nuck If You Buck be the soccer chan of America soon when I can get on the xylophone. We're going to do it. Don't do that. And then you got the family stuff, so let's bring it back to Atlanta. Give me some swag surfing, but not river boat, paddle rafting, whatever that is I've been seeing people offbeat doing. But yeah.
Bye.
All right, so while y'all thinking about your little song, do y'all have, like, song for celebrations? I know I saw a lot of... Y'all were balling. Like, all y'all on the call was balling. I see y'all play. You got any songs of celebration for the W's? You got for however you were lit during the tournament?
I feel like there was no specific song. I feel like we were just so happy to score and do the things. And, you know, a lot of us are retired and old. So it's just like, wow, we can take a breath after we score. You know what I mean? Not really thinking about the music personally. And we had to think of some goal celebrations. That took up a lot of our brain power as well. But I feel like the pre-songs were way more on my brain than the post-songs.
Or okay.
Sorry, I know that doesn't help at all.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Well, I mean, yeah, that's really it. Y'all have any final thoughts?
Okay, I had songs for you.
Oh, you had songs? My bad. Okay, go. Yeah. Do your thing. Do your thing. My bad.
I feel like encompassing of the tournament, I'm a Burna Boy fan. So the song Level Up, which is called Twice as Tall as well, was kind of my feel for the tournament. I think after hearing just a lot of people's stories, there was kind of like a little bit of struggle on how they became professional or throughout their career. But I felt like that tournament really sparked that joy back into the game for them. So I have to go with that song. And like Kayla said, I mean, I was tired and I couldn't celebrate everybody's goals because I was catching my breath. But I would have to say My House, Beyonce, because, you know, it was just my house at that point.
Hey.
When the ball went in the back of the net.
Hey.
True. Tell him.
Hey, Navidad, did you have a song of celebration?
No. So I was mainly just listening to our group chat Hot Girl Summer playlist. That's all I got. Bar song. Shaboozy was on the speaker a lot, so I guess that new album of his is pretty good.
I was gonna say,
I like Sitting on Top in the World by Burna Boy.
She
brought it up and I was like, ooh, I did play that song a lot. Just like at the end of it, I was explaining to someone like how this journey was so like cathartic and how it came like full circle. Like, what two better coaches could you have than like Saskia and Kobe, who I watched when I was younger, and then being on the field with some of the people that I grew up with, like Mariah, and played college with Kayla, and then girls that I trained with, like Jamia and a few other girls at the tournament. I think just that whole experience of, and the uncertainty of like trying to find a team, but then coming here and being treated like a professional, wearing the jersey, having the fans, and really just getting to celebrate with a group of women who, I think all of our soccer journeys are somewhat similar, oftentimes overlooked, but and always underrated. But at the end of the day, we always come out on top. So I think that song for me, just good vibes all around. And I think the tournament was something that was super memorable for me.
All right, cool. Well, that's it. So I want to thank y'all for coming through. Also, if you have any shout outs, you want to thank anybody, you have any projects coming up, feel free to shout them out. This is your opportunity to share anything with the people. Yeah.
I want to say thank you to you, Sky, to Ebony, to Shea Butter FC for just like creating the space. I think it's a really cool conversation, and it's always fun to talk with other people about the game and about our experiences, especially to discuss this tournament. So thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Word, word.
Thank you so much.
Retweet, retweet. Thank you so much.
Word, word. Well, cool. So, somebody else have
something? Oh, no, I was just saying thank you.
Word, word, word. Cool. So, you know, what we are always going to do, we're going to stay, wait.
We're gonna I don't know this. I don't know this part. I'm so sorry.
Wait, hold on. I'm about to, see, I'm going to have to edit this.
Hydrated, melanated.
No, wait, no, dude. Hold on.
The black women in your life are celebrated, and your shea butter bombs are elevated.
Oh, that's not. Yes. Okay, here we go. Hold on. So we gonna wrap this up, and what we gonna do? We gonna make sure we gonna stay hydrated. We gonna stay melanated, and we gonna make sure the black women, like the incredible players on this podcast, are in your life are always celebrated, and we're gonna make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated. And I appreciate y'all and thank y'all. And tell all the people bye. Say bye. Everybody say bye.
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 Also, I had that right.
Kind of sort of right, but yes, you had it right.
She left me in pieces trying to catch a wave. We ain't in North Carolina.